Well, good morning. I want to introduce the Reverend Rob Goodman, who's a good friend of mine and a good friend of Father Justin's. He serves at Holy Trinity Anglican Church. Let's welcome him with an applause this morning.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here, and it is good to be back worshiping in the morning. Our church at Holy Trinity is in borrowed space and worships in the afternoon, and there's some nice things about afternoons, but it is so refreshing to start the day with the word of the Lord. As some of you may know, I'm in seminary, recently retired from the Army, and have started seminary and plan to pursue ministry full-time. And seminary is a great deal of reading, and some of it is good, and some of it is very dry and academic, and I've started to look at it like a prospector with a pan, sifting through all of those words to find the little nuggets of truth and of joy. And I want to share a couple of those nuggets with you today. And the first is that a passage of Scripture guides us like a candle into the full labyrinth of God's story recorded in the Bible. So I'm going to ask you to journey with me behind this candle of Luke 19, this story of Zacchaeus, and see where we find in the nooks and crannies of God's glorious tale the things that God has for us. And I'll warn you right now that as we enter that labyrinth of Scripture, there are some rooms with mirrors, and you may see yourself reflected back from the pages of Scripture and changed. The other little nugget is from Walter Brueggemann's commentary on the Psalms, and he talks about our speech today having become so dry and precise that there's no room for ambiguity. And he says that speech without ambiguity leaves no room for transformation. So I'm going to deliberately leave a few things ambiguous so that the Lord can speak to your story and not just mine. So as we begin this reading out of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is entering Jericho, coming to the conclusion of the journey that we started in the 9th chapter of Luke as Jesus finishes his ministry in Galilee and sets his face to Jerusalem, where he must be lifted up to die. Jesus comes to the last town before Jerusalem, 15 miles from Jerusalem, 3,400 feet below Jerusalem, a day's journey away from Palm Sunday. And he comes into Jerusalem, or into Jericho, and he meets Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a sellout, a traitor, someone who has gone over to the occupying army, is oppressing his own people to become rich. And not only is he doing it, he is guiding others. He's a chief tax collector, high up in the hierarchy, the top of the multi-level marketing system of tax collection in first century Judea. And Zacchaeus has heard of Jesus because he wants to see him. Perhaps Zacchaeus was one of the tax collectors we heard about as John began his ministry, baptizing people in the Jordan right across the river from Jericho. Perhaps he was one that heard John say, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered." Perhaps he's been wrestling with what that means to him for a long time. Regardless, we know that he's heard about Jesus and wants to see Jesus, and wants to see him so much that he runs ahead and he climbs a tree because he's such an outcast that he can't push his way to the front of the crowds. And Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must dine at your house tonight." And Zacchaeus responds. And the Pharisees say, "Why does this rabbi eat with people who are sinners? Now, I'm also reminded here of the story that our lectionary leaves out. It's actually on the same page of my Bible. The story of Jesus and the rich young ruler who comes up and says, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus says, "Keep the law." Teacher says, "I've done that." And that young ruler knows that something is missing in the law. He's not sure that Jesus can add to it, but if he has good advice, he might follow it. He says, "What else must I do?" Jesus says, "Take all that you have, sell it, and give it to the poor, and follow me." And the rich young ruler goes away sad. We have a tax collector, a ruler, and a Pharisee. The symbols of oppression in an unjust society. The tax collector, a symbol of the overt oppression and injustice of the Roman Empire. The Pharisee, the symbol of religious oppression. Some of the most difficult phrases for me in the Bible are as Jesus looks at the Pharisees, the people who are trying to follow the law, the people who think they have it all together. He says, "Woe to you, Pharisees." Remember what he says? He says, "You pay the tithe in mint, you keep the little pieces of the law, but you disregard justice and the love of God." He tells the scribes in the same passage that they place burdens on people and yet refuse to bear them. The religious injustice of the day rolled up in the Pharisees that say, "Oh, why does this rabbi eat with sinners?" And then we have the young ruler who thinks he's religious and yet uses the economic systems of the day to hoard his wealth and power, refuses to give it up for the poor. Unfortunately, we can see those systems of oppression as we look out these windows. If you look at the front page of the Fox News webpage or the CNN webpage, you can see it. You can see the woman who is auctioning off her virginity, knowing that someone will pay. You can see the outrage at conversations recorded on a hot mic that are simply a reflection of our own attitudes reflected on the same ads that pop up on that page. We see it as we see the absolute absence of reporting on Haiti, devastated by a hurricane 3 weeks ago. People who have little hope to begin with, and their only hope is washed away into the ocean. We consume the news that keeps us sheltered from the systems of oppression. The systems of oppression that cause police officers to suspect more out of people of color than they do out of Caucasians. The systems of oppression that sometimes make those fears justified. The systems of oppression that fill our prisons as we sit comfortably in our churches. The systems of oppression that Isaiah calls out. And just after the passage that we read, it says, "When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood." The Pharisees respond by protecting their system of religious oppression. They crucify Jesus when they come into contact with him. He is too dangerous to their way of life that they have to kill him. The young ruler is so tied to his system of economic oppression that instead of walking into eternal life, he goes away sad because he's clinging to that power and that wealth. And then we have Zacchaeus, the worst of the lot, with no hope for ever thinking himself righteous. He just thinks himself rich. But he knows that something is missing. He knows that there's an emptiness in his heart that he hasn't been able to fill in becoming very rich and very powerful. And he thinks that something might be in Jesus. And when Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come out of that tree, for I must dine at your house tonight," Zacchaeus comes into fellowship with Jesus. Not to judge him, not to see whether he truly was right with the law, not to try to see if he could help him out, but to be in fellowship at the table. There's a little bit of ambiguity about when Zacchaeus cries out, but I wonder, like so many others, if it's after Jesus blesses the bread and breaks it and is revealed like he is to Cleopas and the other disciple. But when Jesus is revealed to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus responds in repentance. He responds by saying, "Half of all that I own, I give to the poor. And if anyone I have defrauded, I will repay them four times as much." Not a repentance up here, not even a repentance right here, but a repentance that shows in real life. A repentance that says, "I'm going to turn away from the system of oppression that is my livelihood because I've found life." A repentance that is costly. A repentance that is worship. He has said, "All the idols of the world are nothing compared to this man in front of me. This God incarnate. And I will follow him." And Jesus responds and says, "Truly, salvation has come to this house, for this man is a child of Abraham." And as we listen back through the labyrinth of Scripture, we hear John, the voice crying in the wilderness, warning those who came to see him, "Do not think that you are safe because you are a child of Abraham. For I tell you, God can raise up from these stones children of Abraham." From the stony heart of Zacchaeus, God raised up a child of Abraham. As Zacchaeus came into the presence of the Lord in fellowship. In a few minutes, Jesus is going to invite you to the table. He's going to invite you to experience fellowship. He will invite you to see him revealed in the breaking of the bread. Will you come with a heart open and broken in your meaninglessness? Or will you try to create your own fullness before you come to the table? Will you come ready to hear what Jesus might say to you about the oppressions in our society? The oppressions that the Archbishop of the Catholic Diocese here last week described by saying, if you want to be pro-life before and after birth. Look to the life of those around you and bring life. Will you come to the table and truly feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving? As you leave, will you carry that into the world to be a part of the kingdom of God, to bring the justice and love of God into a broken world? Will you pray with me, please? Almighty God, who has created us in your own image, grant us fearlessly to contend against evil and to make no peace with oppression, and that we may reverently use our freedom. Help us to employ it in the maintenance of justice in our communities and among the nations. To the glory of thy holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.